tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity, for these few moments that we have together. And I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts, ready us to hear what you have to say, and help us, Lord, to apply it to our life. We ask it in Jesus' name as well as for our own lives. Amen. Please be seated. You all know that anyway. I want you to understand that love is a many splendid thing. People have said, all you need is love. Others have proclaimed, I'll never fall in love again. Many are sad because they're all out of love. How many of us already know that only love can break your heart? I hope I'm never told you give love a bad name. In wedding ceremonies, we speak of for better or for worse. Why? Because we understand that love is a battlefield. Still, it's sometimes hard to understand that crazy little thing called love. Now, I even counsel people that you can't hurry love. Yet, once we find it, we realize that love will keep us together. How many of y'all recognize those songs? Just out of curiosity. Okay, very good. In our day, love is expressed in many ways. You've seen the commercials that love is love. And that love is all the same. I'm here to tell you this morning, it is not. There are some things and some ways that we need to love, that God commands us, that Jesus set the example, but there are other ways that we don't need to get caught up in the love of this world. For today, for our purpose, for our understanding, this message this morning, I want to elaborate on this truth, that God's Word says love is the highest attribute of humankind. It is the highest and greatest emotion that we can share. We are at our best when we genuinely love one another. The great chapter that Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 13, the great chapter of love, it says this, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Again, love is a great emotion, it's a great motivator, it's something that God showers upon us, and he expects us to share with one another. It's the greatest when we express it God's way. We can love each other in so many different ways. But this morning, the warning I want to share with you that God has shared with me this past week are things that we must avoid in order to love Jesus deeper and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Remember, misplaced affection can be very dangerous. And I want to bring you face to face with seven dangerous love affairs. And the first one is this, that men will be lovers of themselves. Now, that was a warning that Paul had given Timothy, referring to the end times of which we are. Tell me if this is not something, things that you see happening in our world today. This is Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then he warns, and from such people, turn away. Don't allow them to influence you in your life. Get away from them. Men will be lovers of themselves. And this warning is given to us not just today, but we see examples of it in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. I mean, the Pharisees loved, remember the story about the Pharisee who loved himself and went home unjustified? It's something that Luke talks about in Luke chapter 18. It tells of the Pharisee and a tax collector, and how Jesus talked about how they were praying, and the Pharisee stood there with his hands up and his head raised and saying, Lord, thank you that I'm not like this man. And the tax collector, as he bowed his head, was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified, where the other one did not. This week we read about how God hates a proud look in Proverbs chapter 6. And later in Proverbs, we're told that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall in Proverbs 16. Church, we need to be lovers of God, not just lovers of ourselves. In fact, I believe if we love God the some have strayed from the faith in their dreaminess and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:10. Money is not a bad thing. I understand that. It's the love of money that's the bad thing. Raising money up above God, raising money up above our family, raising money up above things like that. There is a story about three boys. They're in school, they're playing in the playground, and they had this little one-upsmanship with one another, talking about how much money their families have. Well, one little boy says, "My dad jots some words down on a paper, calls it a poem, and they give him hundreds of dollars." That little boy says, "That's nothing. My dad jots some words down on a piece of paper, calls it a song, and they pay him $1,000 for that." And the third boy says, "You guys ain't nothing. My dad writes a couple notes on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, and it takes four guys to pick up all the money." Now, just for your own information, I'm not in this for the money. And for those of you who have seen the budget, you understand and you can appreciate that. I mean, I've never been much about money. I spent over 20 years in the military. You don't get a whole lot of money in the military. And then this is my 36th year in the ministry. And I don't have a book to sell or anything like that. But I'm in it because this is what God's called me to do. And whatever God's called you to do, I hope that's why you're in it. And that you do it for His glory. Anyway, there are examples of and warnings to those who love money, especially in Scripture. The love of money caused the rich young ruler to turn away from Jesus. We talked about the other night in Bible study. In fact, we had probably the greatest conversation we've ever had in Bible study that night. And I realized why when I left that night, because there was a full moon out there. But if you remember Jesus, this rich young ruler came up to Jesus and he asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus talked about the commandments. And the young man said, "I do that already." And then Jesus said this to him: "One thing that you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." But that young man, Mark continues, said, "But he," referring to the young man, "was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." It was his love for money that was greater than his love for Jesus Christ that caused his destruction. Also, there's the apostle's warning for those who covet after money. And he said this, again to Timothy, that they have suffered from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money. Do you remember the talking donkey back in Numbers 22? You know there's a talking donkey in Scripture. It's in Numbers 22. You don't have to look up it now, but you can look at it later on this afternoon if you want to. But the love of money caused Balaam to curse the people of God. Now, he didn't do it, but he fought long and hard until